Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details. Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
What's up, family? Welcome to Speak. Today is the day. We are hours away where dreams become reality for so many incredibly talented athletes. This is the NFL draft. You see the countdown behind me. We're just 3 hours and a little bit of change away. But here are the 10 players that I'm really most excited about. I'm not saying they're the best, but these are the 10 names that I just cannot wait to see what will happen to them. You know about Caleb Williams. You know about Neighbors. Joe Alt, left tackle out of Notre Dame. How about Brock Bowers, beast of a tight end, Lautu, edge rusher, probably the most skilled edge rusher that is coming out than Xavier Worthy. He's the dude that ran a 4.22 in the 40-yard dash. Then you got my Nigerian brother, Fashanu Olu. And then lastly, it's really just an action-packed draft with Michael Penix. I can't wait to see where he goes. This is a day, family. Draft dreams come true. Headed to the desk, Shady McCoy, Joy Taylor, James Jones. But Shady, all-time leading rusher for the Eagles. You heard your name called 53rd overall a couple years back, 2009. Ended up leading the Eagles in rushing yards for the entirety of that franchise's history. Let's talk about the dude who's going to hear his name called number one overall, Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. You have any concerns for Caleb?
Mm-mm. He's the best player in the draft, right? It's not no secret. He's been knowing this for the last, what, 2 years? I'm going to be number one pick in the draft. I think for him, it's just going in there just being himself. I see the small things he does with, like, the interviews. Not interviews, but, like, responding to people, analysts like ourselves, right? The guys talking about the teams. Man, don't worry about none of that. You don't got to respond to them. You're a hell of a player. You know you're that good. It's the reason why you're going number one. You could have won number one last year. Mm-hmm. My advice to him is just play your game. It's going to be some up and some downs, right? But that's part of their journey. He's going to have a great career, great future. And I don't want nobody to think that if he doesn't play great his first year, he's not nice.
No.
We've seen a lot of players go through that. I went through that. Kind of. So he's going to have a great career. I'm happy to see him. And I'm actually excited now for Chicago fans. All these years, you finally get a franchise quarterback. Mm. Not a guy can just, he can run a little bit or he can throw a little bit. You got a guy can do everything. And now you get him there? They're going to be so excited. I'm going to be in Chicago, though. Sure, hanging out.
Joy, you have any concerns for Caleb Williams?
The same concerns that I'd have for any number one overall pick. I think he is the most complete quarterback, certainly, in the draft, complete player in the draft. Like Shady said, we knew he was going to be the number one overall pick the second that he declared for the NFL draft. No one's perfect. He has things he's going to develop in Absolutely. His game. He's things that he's going to improve on, things that he's going to shift. And he is going into a new sport. If it was the same as college football, everybody in college that was great in college would be great in the NFL. And we know that is not true. He is playing against all professionals, grown men, some grown men that have played with the other grown men mm-hmm. for years at a time. They're prepared. They know how to watch tape and digest it and apply it. They know how to read what he's doing. They're studying what he does in college, his tendencies. There's a lot of things that you have to adjust to when it comes to the NFL, but that's the same for every single young man that's going to be taken in the draft this weekend. So that applies to everyone. So my concern is the same for any young player. You're going into a new environment. You're getting new teammates, new pressures. The speed of the game will increase. The type of player that you're going against is going to be different than you've ever seen. The physicality, the speed, the intelligence. But that's the same for everyone. So I think he's going to have an incredible career. He has an infinite ceiling. He's going to a place that really wants him, that has been intentional about putting good pieces around him. They're in a unique situation in that they weren't the worst team in the league last year, that they benefited from the other team being the worst team in the league that they traded for. So they're in this position to take him. They have other picks that they can bolster the roster with as well. And they're optimistic about it. This is going to be his team, and he has an incredible opportunity to take a franchise that is a cornerstone franchise in the league to a place I can't even say that they've been to before, because obviously they're a Super Bowl winning organization, but an offensive-minded identity.
That's crazy.
Right? As a Chicago Bears, but that's what he has the opportunity to do, which is really exciting.
My only concern is playing from the pocket. The young fella in college, 90% of his plays come out of the pocket. And as they should, he's a phenomenal athlete. He makes a lot of plays out of the pocket. When you get to the National Football League, you have to make some of these unscripted throws. How fast can he grow in the pocket? Can you sit in the pocket, wait one more second for DJ Moore or Keenan Allen to get open and let them work instead of scrambling and getting out of there? He's going to make those off-scripted plays, a lot of them in the National Football League. But I want to see his development inside the pocket. Patrick Mahomes is a really, really, really good athlete. He throws this ball from the pocket, and when he has to show his ability to get out of the pocket, he will. That is the type of talent that Caleb Williams has, but he has to trust and he has to develop staying in the pocket and delivering the ball to these receivers that he has out there. I'm looking forward to see that, you know, and see him grow inside the pocket. I don't want to necessarily say that it's a concern. Yeah, I don't know why they keep showing San Jose State.
Wow.
But it's a concern. But I want to see this young fella develop in the pocket, because if he does that, we all know the sky's the limit for him.
Yeah, I got no concerns for Caleb on the field. All my concerns are off. It's just like, can he protect his mentals? Mm. You know, Caleb Williams has been a big advocate for mental health. That was a part of the reasons why he painted his fingernails during the course of the season. Can he protect his mentals? I was told one time, and I believe it, success is trauma. We only think about tragedy as trauma, but success is trauma. How do you deal with the influx of fame? How do you deal with the influx of wealth? How do you deal with the influx of expectations? Trauma is not just tragic. Trauma can actually be success. So how is Caleb Williams going to deal with now all of Chicago Bears fans having this expectation? Every Monday following his Sunday game, he will be on national television. That was not the case when he was at USC. So how is he going to deal with that? LeSean McCoy already noted to it. Caleb Williams is already responding to certain critics on social media. He's responding to certain critics in real life. He's responding to certain critics by every medium he can respond to critics. If you paid attention to Caleb Williams' most recent interview, he says he keeps grudges. He holds grudges. That's cool and all, but you can't hold every single grudge. It will weigh you down. So my real concern doesn't have to do with Caleb Williams on the field. On the field, I think Caleb Williams is an absolute beast. He excelled above all the talent in college. I think he'll excel above most of the talent in the National Football League, but how will he deal with the trauma that comes with success and the expectation of being the number one overall pick?
Yeah, I mean, that's every big-time player in college, though, right? If we just sit here and just start naming guys like Baker Mayfield,
mm-hmm.
like he was actually a number one pick overall, and he had to deal with it. Like, I got to start naming players, and that's part of this, the journey of it.
Correct.
Right? It's all the hype. I think the cool thing is, coming from USC, you're going to have thicker skin than most people because...
Why you say that?
I mean, that's big-time football, right? Not just as X's and O's, but the spotlight. You play for USC? All the great players you just think about that was really, really good, but like a guy like Adrian Peterson, who was phenomenal in college, right? If he had that same resume in USC, we'd be a way bigger player. That's how it works. Mm. More bigger player, right? More attention. More celebrities at the game. Like, you just name it. This goes with the flow of it. So... I love that for him. And then one thing you said that one of your concerns, you said it was
pocket.
Yeah. Right? And I love that, what you said, but that's the new game now, right? Patrick Mahomes is the best player in football right now. But if you were out watching Texas Tech, he all scrambled, all side, I'm running out the pocket. He had to learn it. It's just like the good thing about this is like we know Caleb is so good and we're expecting so much from him, but he's going to be a rookie. Right? Yeah. The things of dealing with the off-field stuff that Acho talked about, the things you talked about as far as just, you know, this development, those are all things that's come with being a rookie. That's why Joyce said he's a rookie like everybody else.
Yeah. And
go ahead.
And not only that, it's all about the people that's preparing them too, Acho, right?
Yeah,
you may have some certain people in college, but we all know, right, when you walk into the doors, whatever facility you're going into, his is going to be the Chicago Bear. It's your PR people and everybody right there like, listen, man, this is how you want to go about certain situations. This is what's going to happen if you have a bad game. These are the reporters that's going to come at you. These are some of the questions that's going to come at you. So a lot of the off-the-field stuff doesn't necessarily have to do with your coaches neither.
Agreed.
It's the people in the building, yeah, too. Agreed. I remember when I got to Green Bay, I started as a rookie because Greg Jennings got hurt. So very first game of the season, I go out there and start. I'm having some good games. Everybody praising me and all that. We play the Chicago Bears. And I go out there. Peanut Tillman is out there the whole week. My coach is like,
Peanut, punch that ball out now.
Protect
that ball, Mike. I don't fumble. I don't fumble. I ain't fumbled in college. I ain't fumbled in the league. I don't fumble. First drive of the game, I'm about to catch a touchdown. A slant. Bop! Peanut, punch it out. Fumble number one. Later in the game, I catch the ball again. Bop! Peanut. Coach say, come on, you're on the bench. When I walked into the locker room, my PR people were standing right there like, you about to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the time. These questions that is about to come at you, you finna get it. Be prepared for it. If you don't want to answer them, don't respond. Next question. The very first question, did you fumble on purpose?
Mm-hmm.
That's what the reporter asked me.
Answer that.
And I just looked at my PR dude and just smiled like, next question. He prepared me for that. So the people around him off that football field is going to have to get them ready, and I believe they will.
Yeah.
Yeah, Caleb has been famous for a couple years now. He's also an NIL athlete. These are a different version of college players. They are more prepared to deal with media. They've been dealing with media for longer. I'm not going to say that the pressures that he felt and faced at USC are the same as being the franchise quarterback and number one overall pick for the Chicago Bears and the expectations that come with that, along with us granting him the praises of generational and future Hall of Famer and expecting him to go and win a playoff game in year one. I think that he is a rookie and should be granted a little more grace than that.
For sure. Rookie. Yeah.
But when talking about concerns off the field, I think we have to update how we view this. I am an extremely strong person. I am exceptionally emotionally disciplined. I would not be here today if I was not. All of us have responded to people on social media. That is not a reflection of weakness. It is 2024, guys. We have to move on past that. We've got to do it. People respond to each other on social media. I made a living cooking people on social media for quite some time. I'm retired now, but you can look it up.
I'm retired.
Like, it does not mean anything. It doesn't mean that you're weak. It doesn't mean that you are affected by feedback. Social media is something that is a part of our lives. So for us to keep saying that these young people aren't mentally tough because they respond back to critics, you could have never responded to a critic? That's not realistic. We have the access to each other. Of course they're going to defend their work. So I can't say that because he did that he is not equipped for the next step. Everyone does it. Everyone. It is not the year 2000. It's not 2004. It's not 2016. It's 2024. Everyone on social media and everyone responds to everyone on social media. My off-the-field concerns for him are zero. I do not know his character. I know that he has never been in any kind of trouble with the law. Yeah. I know that he's been the face of a very big organization and program in USC for a while and has had a lot of pressures and expectations. And other than crying, which is an emotion that you're allowed to have, what has he done that is concerning?
Mm-hmm. We got a rhetorical question?
I'm asking the table. I don't know anyone. I think was open.
Oh, you had concerns about
just said it.
I didn't know it was like me. Oh. I was stating my concern. Everybody state their own concerns. I just think that's the only thing I'm really concerned about. That's the only thing I'm really concerned about.
Is him clapping back on social media?
No. I elaborated beyond that. I think I'm really concerned mostly about how will he be able to deal with the heightened amount of scrutiny. Because right now, the majority of Caleb Williams' viewers are fans. Mm-hmm. Fans. Caleb Williams could, to some degree, do no wrong in college, particularly his first 2 years in college. Then his last year in college, he dealt with a lot more stress.
Yeah.
And with a lot more stress, we saw a different Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams' first 2 years, we didn't even see the emotional output that we've seen this year, positively and negatively. I told you on my 30th birthday, I came on a show and said I cried. I have no issue with individuals crying. I have an issue with the context of when you cry and how you cry and how it will be perceived, particularly if it's publicly, because others will perceive it around you. I have no issue with tears. But his first 2 years, we didn't see that emotional output, positively or negatively. But then when we saw adversity, mm-hmm. it's just how are you going to deal with it? And not only how are you going to deal with it, how are the people around you going to deal with it? Everybody's not like Joy Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's not as accepting. Everybody hasn't updated their model. Everybody hasn't updated their mantras.
I mean, have you clapped back at people on social media?
Not anymore. Not really as of late.
But my thing is forget the clapping back. You didn't like how because he went through some adversity this year, right? He was supposed to win the Heisman again, mm-hmm. lost 3-4 games in a row, didn't play well, threw some picks in the, like, he went through some adversity. You didn't like the way he handled it? Is that what you're saying? And you don't think
it's so hard because I say something and then y'all say something
I didn't say.
I have yet to say I didn't like anything. Only thing I'm saying is I am concerned about mm-hmm. something. What I am concerned about is what he's never faced the criticism that he's going to have to face. And so if you put more tension on something, what will happen when you put more tension on that thing? I don't know. If I get under a squat rack with 225, I'm fine. Y'all put four plates on it, I might collapse because there's more tension on it. So all I'm saying is this year with more tension, with more stress, with more scrutiny, we saw a different version of Caleb Williams.
But my thing is if you did four plates on Monday and you did four plates on Friday, you know what I'm saying? And it crushed you a little bit on Friday. You still been through that on Monday.
Correct.
So why just I threw picks and we lost. Picks and we lose,
I think the difference is when Caleb in college struggled, the whole world was not talking about it. When he goes to the Bears franchise, I believe Chicago's the third biggest market in America, as it not just pertains to football, as it pertains to media market. It's the third biggest media market in America. There are expectations for Caleb Williams to come in and be the savior of that franchise. The scrutiny and the negativity will be as loud as ever been for Caleb Williams. How do you deal with that? I agree with Shady to some degree. Everybody has to deal with that.
Yeah,
hasn't had the expectations of Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
I believe that there are very few quarterbacks that have. You could argue Trevor Lawrence. You could argue Andrew Luck. In this generation, I can't speak to John Elway, et cetera. Yeah. Obviously, people think John Elway was amazing coming out of college. But there are very few people that have had to deal with that heightened of expectations. That is where my concern lies. My concern also lies with perception. Because though we perceive something to be cool, I've been in locker rooms where, like, it might not be cool by everybody. Mm. Everybody don't like that. Everybody don't like how you do this. Everybody don't like how you do that. Everybody might not be accepting of it. And so that's really, if you are different in any way, shape, and form, in society or in an NFL locker room, you might have to figure out how to navigate those differences, at least in my experience.
I guess my question is, what makes him different than the other players that are his age who are doing the same thing?
What I have seen from Caleb is a difference in things. I haven't seen the other players express their emotions in the same manner.
They're not as big. I guess.
Well, again, I had to
see it. You don't see it.
I had to watch it because you know what I mean. On Fridays after I left here, I had to go.
So we think that because of the way that he reacted to adversity, that when the attention and scrutiny and expectations are higher, that those emotions and reactions will be more intensified?
Yes, because the pressure is intensified. I think the reaction is intensified. The pressure was intensified this year. Thus, the reaction was intensified. I had a nuanced conversation with somebody about this last week. Hopefully, we have time for it, but I'll start it. My issue isn't necessarily with an individual showing emotions, but do you have the ability to control your emotions? Everybody on this desk has emotions. Tom Brady takes his helmet off. He slams it on the ground. But he don't keep slamming it on the ground. Because you got to get up and you got to play the next series.
Yeah.
After a game, you shed a tear, you shed two tears, you shed three tears. But you can't afford to shed all of the tears in the world because you got to get to the podium. You got to get to the next game. You want to cry to mom? Cool.
Yeah.
But can you afford to sit in that emotion? Can you afford to sit in anger? You can't afford to sit in anger. You can't afford to sit in any emotion because the game is continuing to go and continuing to grow. So it's not being emotional. Please be emotional. I look at tears how I look at anger. I look at it all the same. But how are people going to respond and react to that?
That's why I say, I mean, you can't worry about that because I can see him having a 2-3 pick game, right?
No doubt.
And going up there and crying to his mom. That's what he did before, right? I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. I just think that that's who he is. And like I said, when there are concerns, like, I don't want you to go be someone you're not.
Mm-hmm.
Be yourself. So maybe if you do clap back here and there, like.
But let me ask you this, Shady, because we were in the same locker room, so unique to us. I know people, I won't name names, but they were in the back corner of the locker room on the left side controlling the music.
Okay, I know
they're in the back corner on the left side controlling
a lot of money.
A whole lot of money. If their quarterback was, I'll go crying. I'll just go back. If their quarterback was crying, they not having it.
But this is the thing.
They not having it.
This is what I will say, though.
Am I lying?
You're not lying because you have a point, but I will go to this point. One thing about the quarterback, especially the franchise dude, it's going to go his way, right? Every young quarterback I've had, right, I don't care how big the player was around him, the main focus is that quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So you ain't going to get crazy and say this, say that about the franchise quarterback. You're going to try to uplift him and bring him up.
Yeah.
So if you're a great left tackle or you're a great wide receiver or you're a great running back, whatever it may be, the main focus is that quarterback. And I'll give you an example. When they're in the meeting rooms and all that, even if these young playing bad, they're going to get on him, but they're not going to get on the same way they're going to get on this wide out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
No doubt.
So I feel like when you have a young guy, I can give you a better example. Josh Allen, right?
Yeah.
We were about to draft him. And the captains was me, Kyle Williams, Lorenzo Alexander, and somebody else. And he had some racist, raps. He was rapping some raps, right?
Yeah. Hey,
young, he's doing his little thing, but he tweeted it, whatever. And before they drafted, they brought all the captains in there and said, hey, how you feel about drafting this dude? Do you think the players would care about it? And I'm like, so I let some of the captains, I'm going to say what they said. Yeah. Now, I butted right in there. I said, hold up. Hold up. First of all, this kid, when he did, he was young, right? Bring him to the NFL. We're going to do everything possible in our powers to make him feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. So we're going to know what type of player he really is, if he's racist or he's not racist. We're going to know exactly what it is. We need to make him comfortable. And when I said that, they're like, yo, you're right, because this is our franchise. We're trying to win.
Yeah.
I don't care what you did when you was 16. Mm-hmm. You're 22 now. Right? Yeah. And there's people, we say things that we might not mean, or we try to be cool and all that type of stuff. But anyway, my point being is, when he got there, mm-hmm. from the head to the bottom, that means the owners down to the players, we made everything possible for Josh Allen to be successful on the field and off the field. They'll do the same thing for Caleb Williams. Yeah.
And not only that, one thing I do know is, once you come in that locker room, if you're making plays,
nobody cares.
That's all that matters. Mm-hmm. And another thing, if he's coming into the locker room thinking he's not going to have a bad game, then what are we talking about? If he's coming in this locker room thinking he's not going to have some ups and downs, then what are we talking about? The greatest have had that. The greatest have had to deal with that. Yeah. I remember playing with Donald Driver. Donald Driver told me, if you watch me play long enough, you'll see me drop another one. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen. And I don't really care what nobody says about it. Just play the game and do what you do. Aaron Rodgers has bad games. Patty has bad games. Joe Burrow has bad games. Brady has bad games. It's going to happen. People are going to say whatever they want to say. You're not going to play flawless your whole career, young fella. If you come in like that, you're going to be all right.
And let's say he don't show flat. Let's say he don't play well, though. Who going to talk about the franchise, though? Player. Think about that for a second. Bryce Young, I didn't think he played well this year, right? I think he's a good player, but he's a rookie. They go through that. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody going to talk bad about him. Because you know if you do, you probably going to be here. Because he's guaranteed to be here. No, I'm serious. Mm-hmm. He's guaranteed to be here. We trying to build around this dude, mm-hmm. right? The Bears, they didn't go out there and get Swift, Allen, and these dudes because they just getting no quarterback. Nah, we want the best quarterback we can get on the board. We getting him. We're going to make it comfortable for him. So if you say anything bad about him, what do you think the coach is going to say to you? You think he's going to be around for that? No. We ain't dumb, and we love our paper.
Depends who you are.
Yeah, all right.
How do y'all feel about
Sean, you say something about him.
I'm looked at as a certain player, right? I'm a captain, is that? I'm not going to say anything. I'm trying to encourage the young dude.
But I think you might hear murmurs within the locker room. Like, because I've been in those situations
where it's like
you got guys.
Little whispers, right?
Correct. You're not going to say nothing to his face, but in the corner, you're like, hey, bro, you believe he really? Da 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 da. Bro, you really?
Keep it quiet, though. Keep it quiet.
This only occurs if he's legitimately terrible.
Which I don't see.
No,
I don't see him that.
Like, and even then, to Shady's point, in your rookie season, it don't matter. He's a rookie. Now, it might matter to some Chicago fans or a writer or two, but he is a rookie. He's going to struggle. There's going to be a point in his career where he has a bad game.
Right.
This is also not news to him. I assume he knows he's not going to play a perfect game every single... When we're talking about a grown adult here. Like, he knows what he's stepping into. I just think that we have a lot of these philosophies on what makes people capable of handling pressure and what doesn't. Michael Jordan used to make up grudges in his brain. You said what? I didn't say nothing. Yeah, you did. I heard you. He would make up grudges, make up reasons to be mad at an opponent. That was his fuel. Everyone approaches the game differently. I think that any young player that's coming into the league at this point, in this environment, in this social media environment, in this, everyone is covering sports. There's all this attention, all this pressure. If you're unaware of what you're walking into at this point, what have you been paying attention to? Like, this is the moment. And he said he's ready for the moment. I believe him. He's coming from USC's Hollywood. He done seen some other things. We live out here. So I don't have any concerns for him off the field. I think he's going to step up to the moment, and I think he's going to have a great career.
We're going
to
find out.
Yep.
Can't wait to see. Can't wait to see when we return. Which team is under the most pressure in this NFL draft? Is it your favorite team? Which team under the most pressure to make a move? That's next on Speak.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, save $30 on the American-made steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Well, the Bears will be home to Caleb Williams, was formerly the home to Justin Fields. But now that so many teams are on the clock,
Draft a few hours away. 32 teams have pressure in the next few days. No more pressure. None bigger than tonight, that is. So, Joy, which team is under the most pressure in this draft?
This is a couple. This was actually a tough choice. But I think I'm going with the Patriots. Mm. They're entering a new era. They're going to take a quarterback. And if they have any hope of being relevant in that division, they got to get it right, and they got to get it right quickly. Mm. There might be a little, you know, light at the end of the tunnel over next year, depending on how things shift. But what do they have? What have they done over the last 2 years? I mean, Bill left them down and out. And this is their opportunity to rebuild and rebrand as an organization. Belichick is not there anymore. Brady is not there anymore. You're entering into the new era of your organization. What are you going to build? What are you going to do? What direction are you going to go in? What is it going to look like? What is your strategy for this? So I think the Patriots might be a team that we're not talking about. Even when we talk about the division, oh, who's going to win it? It's the Bills, the Dolphins, the Jets. We're not even mentioning the Patriots. I do think that this offseason and this draft is going to be really important for them for their future.
James, I'm coming to you with this one, big dog. I'm saying the Raiders.
What you mean about the Raiders now, man?
I think of all the new coaches, I think Antonio Pierce has the shortest leash. I think he has the shortest leash because he has the least NFL coaching experience, number one. I think, obviously, we've seen what the Raiders have done at head coach over the last 4 years, 5 years, whether you want to talk about the Gruens. And then after the Gruens, you have Bisacci. But then he takes them to a winning season to the playoffs. Then they get rid of him. Then you hire McDaniels. Then you get rid of him. Then you hire Pierce. Like, so it's been a roller coaster there. But then beyond that, the draft will bring a lot of tension. And when I think about the tension the draft will bring, you got Telesco. He's a GM.
Yeah.
You got Pierce. He's a head coach. Yeah. But you need a quarterback.
Yeah.
If Telesco wants a quarterback that Pierce don't want, now you got tension imminently. And don't let you swing and miss because their quarterback room is currently Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. Yeah. So, to me, the most pressure on this draft falls with the Raiders because if Pierce does not get his quarterback right, if they don't get the draft right, dude's going to be on the hot seat by week 12 of his first year coaching.
Mm. No, well, yeah, that'd take one good. No, that's a good one. I'm still hoping they don't take a quarterback, to be honest with you.
For
I'm
real?
Hoping the Raiders take a big-time defensive player, build up that defense.
Wow.
We have seen, we've had a solid quarterback in Derek Carr and his defense be terrible for years, and it has not got you any wins. Build up that defense, let Gardner Minshew go out there and play, get the guy you want in free agency or the draft next year. Wow. Right? But at least let Antonio Pierce coach his side of the ball with some big-time talent. Mm. But mine goes to a really good coach in y'all's eyes, and that is...
In y'all eyes? Oh, I know this
is. Y'all think
he's
a good coach?
Who?
Sean.
Who are you about to say?
Who that ain't gonna beat them Saints?
Sean Payton. No, I believe he's a really good coach. But the spotlight's on you, man. You go up to the podium every single time, you booted Russell Wilson out of there. Well, you sitting in the quarterback room right now with Zach Wilson, Jared Stenham. Mm. You got to draft a quarterback, so which means you got to trade some of these picks. You got to go up and draft a quarterback. You can't miss. Because if you miss on this quarterback, this organization is going to be set back for a very, very, very long time. And another thing, if you draft a quarterback and you the quarterback whisperer, if Zach Wilson or Jarrett Stenham tried out there that first game, we already know what type of quarterback you got. Because he should walk into the building being the starter with what's in that quarterback room. The spotlight is on the Denver Broncos. He has to get it right, and he has to hit on the quarterback, whatever quarterback he takes, because you got to trade up to go get him.
2-5.
I'm going to the Big Apple. Mm. The Big Apple. The Giants. Mm. What are we going to do? I just watched you guys ship off your best player, not on offense and defense, your team. Saquon Barkley, send him to your rival with the Eagles, which we love. Thank you. Okay. And then you keep Daniel Jones. Mm. Bro, what are we doing? Because whoever is going to be there, it's like, okay, are we trying to win? What are we doing? Mm. When you tell me we will keep our quarterback Daniel Jones for the future, are we going to win like that? No. So if you want this team to believe, because they have a great coach. Brian Daboll is a phenomenal coach, yeah. Right? And I think it's time for him to get his type of quarterback. He was so good that Daniel Jones, as bad as he's been and off he's been all these years, he took him to the playoffs under Brian Daboll. But it's only so much he can do with him until he gets this type of quarterback. So my thing is, go in the draft, get you a quarterback. I don't know how you're going to do it. You might have to move up a little bit, but you got to do something. Because you can't draft nobody from Duke to run your offense. We can't do that. So Daboll, you know you're my guy. I'm rooting for you. Make it happen, bro.
Because football is a lot better when the Cowboys are good, when the Eagles are good,
Packers,
and the Giants are good.
And the Pack.
Just y'all's favorite team. James, do you trust Peyton to get it right at this point? Do you trust Peyton to get it right?
No, I don't. Because I don't trust his plan now at the quarterback spot. You got Zach Wilson and Jared Stidham at the quarterback spot. You traded. You used a pick to trade for Zach Wilson. So I don't know if you're sitting up there thinking that you could get the best out of it. You traded for him. Now you're going to have to use some more picks to trade up to really get the guy you want at the quarterback spot. You had Drew Brees for 20-plus years, whatever it was, and you won one championship, and everybody praising you like you like that. That's what I seen.
See?
What?
I hate when you do this.
What is
it? You speak like that, but then when we talk about Aaron Rodgers, you don't even say nothing about that.
What you mean?
He played 20 years, got one championship too.
We're not talking about Coach Mikert. We're talking about Sean Payton right now.
He is so flip-flop.
We're talking about Sean Payton. Who you guys, because y'all give my man Coach Mike a hard time.
He one of them dudes, though. He one of them guys, bro. If we, let's say we not cool like that, and I'm rolling with him, yeah, I'm you my boy, Shay Snap.
You know what I'm saying?
I leave, or I go to cafeteria, y'all in the study hall. Yeah, I show that boy Shay.
I'm saying is y'all praise Drew Brees, and y'all praise Sean Payton way more than you praise Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy. Drew Brees gets no smoke.
Okay, that's true. But I
can't. Neither does Sean Payton.
I cannot give you Aaron Rodgers. I can give you McCarthy. I think McCarthy gets way more criticism than
Aaron gets all the smoke, Joy. Four MVPs and a Super Bowl ain't good enough for Aaron. He gets all the smoke.
That's because he gets so much praise, achievements do not match the amount of praise that he gets.
All I know is Drew Brees finna have a gold jacket just like Aaron. And he don't get the smoke Aaron Rodgers gets.
Okay,
Sean Payton don't get the praise either.
You're trying to even the smoke out.
He get a lot of praise. I ain't trying to even no smoke out. I'm just saying.
Because you think that Sean Payton is a good coach.
I do think he's a good coach, and I think Coach Mike is a good coach, but
I agree with you.
Yeah, but
What pick they got? What pick they got?
Broncos are picking it. 15, I believe.
13 or something. I don't know.
13. What you gonna do 13 like
that's
that?
That's what I'm saying. You have to trade
12.
Picks up.
And I think
you,
it's 12.
You got to trade up, and you have to make sure this is your quarterback. That's why I believe this is huge for them, and I'm not a believer.
Well, I pick the Giants because I do think that today, not career, just today, I think Brian Daboll is a better coach right now.
Yeah.
Sean Payton.
Oh.
Sean Payton was on the...
He's on more pressure.
Right. Sean Payton was on TV. He's getting back into it. I think he's a phenomenal coach. I think he's going to get better this year. But I seen Brian Daboll come right up in the mix, right, and get it popping with Josh Allen. I was like, oh, my God. I know Josh was good. I know he's that good. Right? Then he goes to the Giants with an awful, awful quarterback from Duke, Daniel Jones. He gets it popping with him. They win a game. They win the playoffs. So, honestly, if he has the right quarterback, yo, they can really do some big things because now the defense... They got some real defensive players over there. They just brought in Burns.
Yeah.
You got Dexter Lawrence over there. They got some moves. We're going to see, though.
Are you expecting the Giants to make any noise this year, though? Because even if you do get a quarterback, say they get Penix, say they get Odunze, say they get Neighbors, I still feel like...
I think that next year, though. I think not this year. That next year, I think they'll be solid where they can compete. Because we watched them compete. Daboll's first year, I was so surprised. Like, bro, there's no way. By the fifth game, I said, he needs coach of the year.
Hold on, though. You said Neighbors.
Yeah, if they can get Neighbors.
Oh, no. If they don't take a quarterback, expect them to compete this year, because that's crazy.
That would be an awful move.
But if they do, you would expect them to compete this year. Because you're sticking with what you have like that. And the expectation is at least that you should win a playoff game. So if you're not taking a quarterback, then you should compete this year. If you take a rookie quarterback, anybody who has a rookie quarterback, I don't expect for them to be competing in the postseason this year. It doesn't mean that they can't, but I don't expect them to.
I'm sorry. I can see why they could, though. I mean, because, like, I mean, what is Daniel Jones? Is he a vet? He might be vet because of his years. I mean, but... He ain't like no vet on the field like that.
What do you mean? You,
I said, like, I don't think he's that good. So
yeah.
I think I take him, Daniel Jones, right? Two touchdowns in six games last year, right? Mm-hmm. And you take a rookie? What's the difference?
I just think...
Because he's not being paid as a rookie.
What I'm saying is I watched Daboll take Daniel Jones and elevate his game, right? Mm-hmm. Which I thought Daniel Jones is the most average player we've seen in years. Why can't a rookie do that?
He can.
So that's what I'm saying.
I think the mistake in my mind would be drafting a quarterback at six.
For real?
I think that would be a mistake.
What if you move up a little bit?
Like two, if you move three, up to three, four, maybe, three, four? But or three. Probably three.
Three would be great.
Three. Because I think
they ain't taking Drake May.
I think there's a sizable gap in my mind between Drake and like J.J. McCarthy. And so if you take to take Michael Penix at six is such a reach. I love it. I think it's the biggest risk. He tore his ACL twice, family. And in between tearing his ACL twice, he broke his clavicle. Then after breaking his clavicle, he had a AC joint. So he's torn his ACL on the same knee twice. We all know about ACLs. If you tear your ACL, you're more likely to tear your ACL again. On top of that, you got a clavicle. On top of a clavicle, you got an AC joint. So to take Penix at six would be the risk of all risks. When you already overdrafted on Daniel Jones, I think it would be a mistake to take Penix at six. Take Penix, just not at six.
They're not going to get to three.
I agree with that.
So they're not going to get to three. So that's not on the table because Washington and New England are not going to move. So they're going to get whoever's available at best at four.
And there's no point.
At best at four.
And there's no point.
So what is the plan if they don't take a quarterback for this year?
I would.
Drew Lock.
It's not Drew Lock, sir. It's Daniel Jones.
But I'm just saying, if Daniel Jones,
he's bad.
Both of them.
Yes.
If he's bad, he's coming off of
Drew
injury.
It's Drew Lock.
That's a bridge corner.
That's what the Seahawks rolled out there last year, and we were cool with it when they rolled out with Geno and Drew Lock. And Drew Lock and Geno was a quarterback competition prior to
I'm a bad man, and as the gambling world would say, the gambling gods, if there's anything called gambling gods,
I'm saying receiver.
No.
Great risk brings you great
reward.
Hey, man, it's the Big Apple. What are we talking about? Right? You don't get you a little flashy wide receiver and go out with Daniel Jones and pray every second of the game. Or go out there and get you a quarterback, man. Go ahead. Look. Give some pieces up, right? And move up maybe two, three slots. Get you a quarterback that you might like. You got the quarterback whisperer in your back pocket, Brian Daboll, who's like that.
Shady, is there a guaranteed quarterback that you want, though?
Hey, man.
Is it a quarterback you put 250 bands on and you could possibly lose that?
You're doing it again.
Listen. If we look at all the drafts, though. See, that's what I hate when people do, though, right? It's like now the draft happens. You can say what you want. But in the midst of the draft, Baker Mayfield's year. Mm-hmm. Baker went first, which was wild crazy. The dude from Arizona, what's his name?
Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen.
Yeah, him. Was the third one. Because Josh was
somebody was before Josh Rosen.
Darnold.
Yes.
Darnold was.
Andy, help me with that.
But Josh was like Josh is the best quarterback in that whole draft. Yeah.
And Lamar went 20-something.
Yeah, and then Lamar went 20. Yeah. So my thing is, we say all these things. Oh, man, is there a guy that you would put $250,000 on and all that bull crap? But the truth is, every coach has a guy that they want. The Bills, Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, I remember we talking about this. They said, yo, we want this kid, Josh Allen from Wyoming.
Yeah.
I said, wait, where's Wyoming? Like, they play football there, right? And he's like, yes, we need him. All these other dudes that they talked about, they didn't want them. They knew the guy they wanted, and it worked out. So my thing is, when you saying who they pick, you don't know who they got their eyes on.
That guy they want.
And it fits their scheme, so I'm with that.
But you know, you're right, Shady, but there's also the chess of it all. And the chess of it all is, if I know that I want this quarterback, and I want this quarterback, or want this running back, want whoever, and I know I want him, but I know don't nobody else want him that early.
You think?
Of course.
Okay.
But, like, there have been players where you know you want, but you're not going to draft him that early because I know I can get him a little bit later.
Yeah.
And so, like, same thing with Baltimore Ravens. They didn't take Lamar Jackson with their first overall pick. They took Hayden Hurst with their first overall pick. Then they said, okay, Lamar, you're still here. Nobody else values you. We're going to trade up, and we're going to get you.
And that worked out for them, I would say, luckily, considering how good Lamar Jackson turned out to be. I don't know if we can get the draft order up again. I don't think that the Giants can afford to play that game.
I don't think so either.
Everybody like, how many teams up there need or could possibly take a quarterback?
But that's my only thing. Like, I don't know if the Giants is sitting in there saying we need one.
I agree.
I truly don't. Man, I think their plan is going in there. If Daniel Jones is healthy and he can go, we are going to give him one more year.
But they don't like him.
That's why they signed Drew Lock.
Around the draft time with Patrick Mahomes, because I know you're a college guy and you know all that, he wasn't looked at as Patrick Mahomes he is today, right?
No, not at all.
It's so crazy.
Not at all.
The Bills, this is what I'm saying. I keep speaking on this. I won't even say the GM's name because that's my guy. But the GM before Brandon Bean got there, the owner said, I want Patrick Mahomes, right? The owner wanted him.
Buffalo Bills owner.
Buffalo Bill. Uh-huh. They want him, right? They said, we got to get this dude. We knew it. He didn't get him. They fired the GM. Fired him. And look at Patrick Mahomes is. Mm-hmm. So all I said to say is like, yo, you know who your dudes are. And it may not be, Drake May might not be this great dude right now, right? Norfolk mm-hmm. Lyon might not be that. Penix, you keep saying all these injuries.
Yeah.
He might not be that today. But if they have a plan for him and a scheme yeah. for him, he can be that next dude.
You love,
all
though.
I'm saying is, yo, don't pass up on somebody now love. For somebody later. Oh, that should be a line. Darren, put that on there. Don't pass up your future.
Yeah. Yeah.
For a temporary moment, for today. Yeah. Can I get an amen?
Amen. Amen.
Go ahead, one more time.
Don't let your future.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because you're looking for temporary love yes, today.
Yes, sir.
Around here.
Yes, sir.
Can I get an amen?
One more time.
Amen,
amen, one more time.
Send the break.
One more time. No, one more time. One more time.
Hold on. Send the break.
When we return, do you sign him or do you draft a replacement? Dak Prescott, Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins, Justin Jefferson, Trey Hendrickson, all players who want more money, should their team pay them or should they go ahead and move on from them? They have to make those decisions in about 2 hours. We'll tell you what they should do. That's next. Hopefully Shady's still on the org.
Mm-hmm. So temporary decisions will mess up your future.
Come talk to me.
I hear you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Huge names waiting for huge payouts. My favorite conversation of the day is the one we're about to have. Pay or draft? That is the decision that so many franchises, including the Cowboys, the Niners, the Bengals, the Vikings, they have to make. They have star players that want to get paid. But why pay a guy $150 million when you could simply draft his replacement? I know it sounds cold-blooded, but that's the way the NFL goes. Relax into your chair, turn your volumes up, get ready to have some fun as we move quickly through these players, through these teams, through these organizations, and through this paper. Let's start with Dak Prescott. You know he's going into the final year of his deal. LeSean McCoy, the Cowboys have a decision to make. Should they pay Dak Prescott, sir, or should they draft his replacement? Talk to me.
Put him on Laraway. Is that an option?
Okay.
No, listen. It's time to go. Draft his replacement. We've seen enough of Dak Prescott. Every year is the same thing. Good regular season, bad performance in the postseason.
I'm going to say draft his replacement as well, but draft his replacement high. Actually go for it. Go get a quarterback in the first round. Go get his replacement. Don't go in the middle of late rounds and kind of play around with it. Start rumors, start dissension in the locker room. You're kind of saying that you're not sure if you want him back because otherwise he would have an extension or we would be talking about it. On one side, you're saying you like him, then you're not signing the extension. I don't know what's going on, but you get the same thing every single year, great regular season, and then you lose in the playoffs early. I think it is time to draft his replacement and develop him. He's not going to play this year anyway, but go and get a quarterback high in the draft.
Trust the process.
Oh, no.
Pay the man.
Oh,
pay the man. Pay the man.
All-pro
quarterback, 12 wins gives you a chance to at least have a fighting chance in the playoffs to compete for championships. We don't know when that time is going to come, but Dak Prescott is a really good quarterback that a lot of people in this draft right now are really, really hoping they can find a quarterback that can play at an all-pro level as Dak Prescott. The Dallas Cowboys have one. Pay him his money. Keep him
Why
there.
Why do you get the full screen? Why do you give him the full screen?
Don't worry, Shady. You'll get it on this question. All right, let's move to the Niners and Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk was an all-pro wide receiver last year, family. His agent, you know he going to get him his money. Shout out to my friend, his agent. But Brandon Ayuk, shout out to you for balling. Now the question is, should they pay B.A. or should they draft his replacement? It's the best wide receiver class probably since the turn of the century, this draft class. 2-5, talk to me. And can we take Shady single, please?
Hey.
He has requested it. Should the Niners pay him or draft a replacement?
Pay this dude. Throw him the big, big bag. He deserves it. When I think about, like, Brandon Ayuk, he's the most quarterback-friendly wide receiver on the team. You need him. You got to have him. But I will say this. The Niners, they always do this. We see the same thing with Bosa. They ain't paying to the last minute. So I'm calm and I'm collected. But they got to pay this man because Brandon Ayuk is like that. All pro last year. He gets busy. Give that man his money.
It is hard to do.
It's very hard to do.
And I would love to pay And I think everyone should get their money.
What? Is there a...
I think you got a draft.
You
look at this roster. I know. Oh. And I love my... I want to pay everybody. I want everyone to get the most money. possible, but you can't pay everybody.
Oh, my goodness. Gosh, Joy.
She's saying.
I think she's trying to say, no in a nice way. Ooh, listen. Gosh, ladies, Joy is crazy. You got to draft
salary
one.
Salary cap.
You got to draft one. You got to draft one. You got to draft
one.
Listen,
receiver.
He's going to be too expensive. You have to draft one, get one in the first round for the next 5 years. Trade Ayuk, get a first round for him, let somebody else pay him, get you a really good receiver in the draft for the next 5 years. You ain't got to worry about paying. Pay him with Debo and Kittle and McCaffrey, and you are going to be okay. You got to draft one.
Co-sign that decision. I would draft one as well, because if Ayuk gets traded, he's going to make more money, and B.A. needs to get his bread. Let's move to another wide receiver, T. Higgins. Yesterday, he took to his team and said, I am demanding a trade. He's been franchise tagged, but he's trying to put his foot down. Shady McCoy, should they pay T. Higgins, or should they draft his replacement?
They should draft his replacement, right? You talk about prioritizing what you want on your team. It looks like they're worried about Ja'Marr Chase, and I get it. I understand that. So invest, and that's your main focus. Cool. Keep that the main thing. Let me get my money somewhere else. And I think he's good enough where he could be a number one receiver on any other team. So I would say draft somebody.
Yeah, I agree. This is we kind of all anticipated this was coming, right? We were talking about what they were going to do in this situation for a while now. They do need to draft his replacement because you have Ja'Marr Chase, and you are obviously going to prioritize his talent. And T is great, and he is going to make his money, and he obviously wants to go and do that. You always knew you were coming to this impasse at one point or another, so I do think you should draft his replacement.
Yeah, I would draft his replacement too, and I would trade him. And Buffalo Bills, go trade for him. Do right by Josh Allen. And Buffalo Bills, draft you another one in the first round. Do right by Josh
Allen. That's bad math. Hold on, James. That's bad math.
It ain't bad math. T. Higgins is a number two wide receiver, really good. You do not have to give up a first for him. Give up a couple seconds and a third.
Nah, here's what's bad math to me. That. You want the Bills to trade for T.
Yep.
So you want them to pay Diggs. Pay T, even though they got rid of Diggs, but they got rid of Diggs because of
not
off field.
Of, money.
Of course not. But T. Higgins is over here demanding trades. He's over here acting
because he has not had his big payday yet.
Yeah.
He's trying to get his big payday. We going to demand trades when we ain't made Stephon Diggs money. Stephon Diggs on his third deal, $100 million here, $100 million there. This is his first deal. He's trying to get paid. And to be honest with you, he's not going to get paid like them number ones. He's going to get paid like a number two, some about $80 million. Buffalo Bills, give him that money and then draft you one and put them with Josh Allen. Do right by Josh.
Don't have enough time for this conversation. Let's move to somebody who will surely get paid like a number one. Justin Jefferson.
Oh, my God.
Over 1,000 receiving yards each of his first four seasons. Three-time Pro Bowler, going to get a massive contract. Shady McCoy, should they pay him or draft a replacement?
You don't got to ask me. Mm. Pay him everything. Pay him a lot of money. Give him some new grills. Whatever he wants, he gets. He's the best thing that Minnesota has, right? And I'm talking about the whole spot. Mm. The Timberwolves and the Vikings. Pay that man. He's that good. He's that special. Mm.
Okay, next.
Come on now. I don't know why he on the list.
Okay, yes.
Highest paid wide receiver
all time.
The history of the game coming up very, very, very soon. Justin Jefferson will be that man.
Thank you,
Am I gritty? I'm gritty.
I'm a little gritty. Can we do the gritty? Let's go back to T. Higgins for a second. James, you think he's not going to want wide receiver one money?
Acho, he's not going to get wide receiver one money. He doesn't have wide receiver one numbers.
Okay, so, but Calvin Ridley got wide receiver one money and didn't have wide receiver one numbers.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Diggs got number one money, too.
Totally
he got
different players right there, because Calvin Ridley was wide receiver one before he had got into the trouble, the mess he had got. Mm-hmm. Yes, he was at the Atlanta Falcons.
No, he wasn't. Julio Jones was there, sir.
Julio left, and he was wide receiver one.
When Calvin went for 1,600, I believe Julio was there, sir.
He went for what?
When he went for 1,600?
Uh-huh. And
I believe Julio was there, sir.
He went for what, Acho?
He did go for 1,600. Andy, can we confirm that Julio was there, please, sir?
Wide receiver. He was the number one receiver on the team. Julio was up and down with injuries and all that.
Hasn't had a chance to, though, bro. He hasn't had a really
That's
chance.
What I'm saying.
But you could look at a player and say, yo, he has number one potential.
No question. I'm not saying what I'm saying is his teams ain't going to pay him St. Brown money that he just got $77 million.
I think they will. More than that,
somebody needs him. And I think Buffalo
somebody needs him.
Would really benefit
and
from
I would definitely even give him around the Calvin Ridley number. What Calvin get? 90?
25. Yeah, 25 a year.
I would give him that. I would give him that money. The 120, 77 million, I wouldn't give him that, but I would definitely give him Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, but what's tough for me is, like, why would you do that when you could draft a cat? You feel me? Like, why would you give Key?
Acho, listen to me. The Buffalo Bills still have Josh Allen. They are still trying to compete. They have a really good quarterback. You need weapons. They have zero people in that wide receiver room now. You need a couple of them. Go trade for this man. Get a big time. If you think his upside is number one, you get the number one receiver, and then you draft another young fella to go in that room, too. And now we got action, boss, with Josh Allen.
Yeah.
I like the move. I like the money. I like the move.
That part.
You want more money?
I'm saying, like, he respect that dude, man. I think he's the number one receiver. Pay him like one.
I mean, you could pay him like one if you're drafting another one. I agree with you.
Young Law, I'll hate for you to be my agent.
I'm going to get you the money, dog.
When we return, we got to head into the locker room. Shady McCoy drafted in the second round. James Jones drafted in the third round. So what is it like on draft day? Favorite draft day memories? What's the pressure like for the players moving on next? Let's talk to 24 years of NFL experience between them. Well, 21. That's next on Speak.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Family, we got to bring you into a locker room. If you've never been inside a locker room, allow us to welcome you inside of one. Three Super Bowls between them two gentlemen. A lot of experience between them. Come on, hold on. Got to get this music shut.
She always called me that night, girl.
Right before the meeting, she trying.
Fellas, okay, we got our family with us, the audience at home. Now, James, you were drafted in the third round out of San Jose State. 2-5, you were drafted number 53 overall to the Philadelphia Eagles. I was drafted in the sixth round to the Cleveland Browns. But I want you all to tell them, they've never been inside of an NFL locker room before. Y'all hanging with us for a moment. I want you to tell them, what was draft day like for you?
Real quick, Dying on Line, man, them numbers look stank.
That 2-9, that 5-9,
I thought the 5-9 looked stank. The 2-9 looked real stank.
I always had the 8-9, so I was.
People forget, for context, that is Shady McCoy in the 2-9. B. Westbrook was there his first year. Shady didn't become 2-5 until that second year in Philly. But Shady, take me back to that draft day memory when you heard the name called. What was it like?
Yeah, so I met with the Steelers, though. It's crazy. The GM, Kevin, I forget his last name, but a good dude. And I want to know, where would I get drafted at? First round or second round? He was like, man, well, look like you'll be late first rounder, early second round. It happened. And I remember going back home, we had a big party. See, everybody's talking about the draft. So I'm talking about the party, though.
We had DJ Drama.
DJ Drama on the ones and twos.
And look, I don't know if you ever watched that show, yeah. Favorite Love. This one, reality TV, was reality TV. The chick, Hoops. Ooh. I'm like 20 years old, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, tell me this. Sorry, I apologize. He's reminiscing.
Ooh, my bad, sorry about that. Anyway,
who called you? Who called you from the Eagles?
So I had the big party and all that. So then the next morning, right, we come in there and the draft's going on. Andy Reid, he called me. He said, Shady McCoy?
Shady McCoy. He said Shady?
He said, Shady McCoy?
That's how I really wanted to be Shady McCoy. He said, hey, you're going to pack a lot. He said, it's only an hour drive. It's from Harrisburg to Philadelphia. And that right there changed the game. Changed my life, my family's life.
Was it the moment you saw, correct me if I'm wrong, don't cuss me out if you're in Philly, did you see the 215 area code and you already knew what time it was? Because that's usually what it is. On draft day, you tell all your family, you tell your friends, nobody call me. Because the second you get a call, you think it's going to be the team that's drafting. You literally tell all your loved ones, don't call me during these hours. Well, was it when you got the 2-5?
Not really, because I had three other teams call me, right? And I'm like, oh, I might. So the Broncos called. I had to take a visit there. The Seahawks called. And all these teams was kind of in line. I'm like, oh, I'm going here, I'm going there. So when I got the 215 number, I'm like, man, this is another call trying to see what's going on with me.
Yeah.
But it really happened. Yeah. And we started crying, everybody tearing up, right? And I remember getting a call. It was the cameras there, and I looked up. I said, hey, y'all, we going to Philly. I started crying and yelling.
No, you're right. I think the call is the biggest thing that you'll never forget. I didn't know where I was going. See, Shady knew first, second round. I didn't know where I was going. Could have been third, could have been seventh. I didn't know where I was going. I was at the crib with the wifey. She was girlfriend at the time. We at the crib just chilling, me and her. I see a bunch of receivers going.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, forget this draft, man. I'm done with it. Them dudes, sorry. I just came from the combine with these dudes. They not better than me. I'm like, let's go. My buddy played arena football. I'm like, man, let's go watch TG play arena football. She's like, nah, just chill. 5 minutes later, 920 area code hit. That's Wisconsin. I'm like, man, I ain't finna answer no Wisconsin call. She's like, answer the phone. So I picked the phone up, and Coach Mike was like, this James? And I said, yeah, this James. He said, we're about to take you with this next pick. My buddy's playing a lot. Like you saying, nobody called me. I'm like, man, stop playing, man. And then Coach Mike, me knowing him now, he said it with that deep voice. Man, it's Coach Mike, man. We're about to take you with the next pick. After that, the journey, everything flashes right in front of your eyes. And then that's when the tears start coming. I hung up. It was just two of us. I hung up. It was 150 people in that house. After that, I don't remember what happened.
You know what? As that call's going on, you think about all the hard
man,
work. You think about all the people down on you. You think about the injuries. You think about going from
the tears.
And I'm getting
that's when the tears
emotional
come.
About that stuff.
Yeah. That's when the tears come, the journey.
What was the hardest part? Because I remember for me, I tore my quad at the NFL Combine. I'm running a 40-yard dash. I hear boom. Boom, boom. I was my quad being ripped off of the bone. I thought it was my heels clicking. So I had no idea where I was going to get drafted. I was projected third to fifth round, depending on how you run, tore my quad off the bone. Now I'm like, will I even get drafted? By the sixth round, I start getting calls from my agent. Hey, you know, the Cowboys are probably going to draft you. I'm like, okay, cool. I live in Dallas. I'll stay home. Next thing you know, I get a call. It's the Cleveland Browns. It's Tom Heckert. And he's like, hey, we are going to draft you. Are you cool with that? I'm like, yo, where is Cleveland? I'm like, I don't know where Cleveland is on a map. So it was just a crazy time. It was up and down. I wanted to be drafted higher. Tore my quad. Didn't know if I was going to get drafted. You start getting prepared to get picked up in free agency. I'm like, free agent, what?
Yeah.
I'm like, I ain't go to Texas. I wasn't third team All-American to be a free agent. Like, and no, shout out to free agents who get it out the mud. So it was an emotional roller coaster for me. 2-5, what's the hardest part about the transition in your mind?
For me, it was tough because I'm so close to home, right? I remember having bad camp days, right? And I would go home to my house where I grew up in, right? Because at that time, we were just building a house for my mom and my dad. But I would go home, right? And then when I would come home, all my old friends would come around and this and that third. I'm like, this ain't what I want, you know? So that was hard for me, though, kind of breaking away from, like, people back home and then going to Philadelphia and doing my job. Another thing is, I was so young. I was the youngest guy in my draft where they had to, my mom and dad had to kind of
sign for you.
Sign for me.
Yeah, you weren't 21 yet.
The problem was, it's like, you go from college straight to the pros, and there's nobody really to show you the way.
Yeah.
Because nobody ever really been there, right? And that was the hardest thing from just going to practice and not going to class. This is my, everything is football. And you're a young kid, you wanted some time to just relax, rejoice. Yeah. And I didn't get a chance to really celebrate my draft and on being in the NFL to after that season because there was so much going on.
Yeah, it's a couple things that's hard. Number one, it's the money. Right when your name get called, everybody think you got millions.
You rich.
Everybody think that's you, and everybody wants you to pay it backwards.
Yep.
And take care of everybody in the hood, your grandmama, your mama, everybody. So that's hard because you got to manage that, and you have to go out there and deliver. And then when you step on the football field, the hardest adjustment when you step on the football field is the speed of the game.
Mm. You look how young you look. Wow. Yep. I'm not to see you old now, but
he is 40.
You know?
He is 40.
The speed of the game, right? So when I get out there, I'm like, everybody was good in college, like Shady say. Everybody fast. Everybody strong. Everybody could jump. So the speed of the game is moving so much faster than college. And on top of that, the adjustments that you have to make on the fly makes the game extremely hard. And that was the two biggest adjustments for me.
And I want to give some advice to all the rookies out there, right? Now, I was blessed to have great parents. My mom, my dad, and my brother was phenomenal with me, right? Helped me with everything. If you don't have something like that, gravitate to somebody that's been good in your life. It's an old coach, right? Mm-hmm. If it's an old teacher. If it's the old head in your neighborhood that kept you from off them corners, wherever it may be, gravitate to them because you're going to need them. It's going to get tough.
Yeah.
He talked about the money part.
Yeah.
What about the football part where I'm used to being the man?
Yeah.
You get there, now you go from the top. Now you're at the bottom, you're a rookie. And the small mistakes you make are not small because your rookie makes it bigger.
Yep.
And if you don't have somebody to be in your corner, bro, it's going to be a hard journey, a long journey.
And not only that, talk to the vets.
Like, it's a lot of vets in there that...
It's something to hate, though.
No, it is something to hate, but I'm just talking about... Let's just talk about the money part. Talk to the vets. Yeah, it's a right, lot of players in there that is going through the same things you were going. I remember sitting in my locker, and Al Harris, we called him Dirty.
Al Harris.
He walked up to me, seen my head down. He like, bro, we like, get yourself ready for practice, right? You a rook, get yourself ready. And I'm like, bro, man, I got to handle it. And he said, listen to my voicemail, bro. And he played his voicemail, and it said... If you are calling me about any money, your call won't be returned. Mm. If you're calling me to check on me, I will return your call at my earliest convenience. And he said, to be honest with you, bro, me putting that on my voicemail, when my family, anybody called that's trying to beg and do all that for money, he said they will hear that. And right when I pick the phone up, they say, you good? Mm-hmm. How you doing? How football? You healthy? Mm-hmm. All right. So he said, put that on your voicemail. Yeah. See what you do. So just talk to the vets. It's a lot of little stuff that you can learn from the vets on and off the field.
Shout out to my vet, DeQuell Jackson, D'Amico Ryans, my vets when I was going into the league. My advice for the rookies, invest in your 401k.
Mm. ASAP.
NFL's on double that money. Man. When we return from the NFL to the NBA, Lakers are back. Well, they're back playing tonight, but they got their back against the wall. Hey, we got a team meeting to get to, but we'll see y'all shortly after this commercial break.
Hey, you married, bro? I got my phone.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jamal Murray ended game two against the Lakers in dramatic fashion with that game-winning bucket over Anthony Davis. Nuggets now up 2-0 on the series. AD, he called out his head coach saying, quote, you know, we have stretches when we don't know what we're doing. Well, head coach Darvin Ham, he responded. Take a listen.
Pride ourselves on being, you know, highly efficient and organized. And so I just chalked that up to being frustrated. You know, it's an emotional game and the way it ended and all of that. But, you know, I'll agree to disagree on that one.
James Jones, Darvin Ham agreeing to disagree with the star player AD. Is it something or nothing?
I mean, it's definitely something. But at the end of the day, what was the Nuggets doing that was really tricky? They was running pick and rolls. Switch it or fight over the screen. What are we talking about? For me, Anthony Davis, you did not show up in the fourth quarter. What would have been a really good response for me is you to get up there and be like, listen, man, I got to get us two more buckets in the fourth quarter. We win that basketball game. You know what? Jokic had his way with me in the fourth quarter. Got the ball in the post. It was one-on-one down there, and he went to work. So stand up there and be accountable for yourself, because I thought on the offensive end, you and Bron had it going. At the end of the game, y'all was high pick and roll. LeBron was coming off, getting himself a bucket. So what are we talking about? At one point, you got to hold yourself accountable. You were not good in the fourth quarter. We needed one or two more buckets from you, and you did not deliver. So blaming it on your coach, because that's basically what he's doing. Yeah, I agree to disagree.
Something or nothing, Joy Taylor?
I think it's nothing. I agree with Darvin's assessment. I don't think that they are unprepared. I don't think any team that has LeBron James on it is unprepared, or they don't know what they're doing out there. There's a lot of intelligent players on that court. This is not a team that I even think of that for a second. What I do think is that they are not good in the second half and offensively, and they need to improve on that. You just mentioned what Anthony Davis did in the fourth quarter. I think AD just got the game-winning shot in his face and then had to sit on the bench while everyone was celebrating for 10 seconds. Like, yeah, you might be a little upset and say something that otherwise he probably wouldn't have said. I don't think Anthony Davis really believes that. I agree. It's a bit of an emotional response, which is understandable considering the circumstances and the way the game ended. But when you lose to a team 10 times, hey, it's everything. It's that. It's that we're not prepared. It's that we're not good in the second half. It's that I wasn't good in the fourth quarter. Everybody's bad. You keep losing. Something is wrong, and something is everything at that point.
I was always told, too, it's truth and joking.
1,000%.
Yo, commercial or not?
No.
No? You know what? I hated it, though. Just because when you, not as a regular player, a star player, a big player, top 75 player, right, of all time, when you say something like that, yeah, you know, there's sometimes we don't know what we're doing, offense and defense. You put everybody in the best situation. Yeah. Y'all talking about just the coach part of it, right? Yeah. Y'all talking about the coach. Now, if I'm the owner, like, I look at the coach now.
No bench player said it. A star said it. Y'all know what the hell y'all doing on the court? We're in the playoffs. You could have won a game, you lost it because you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Okay, that's one part of it. The second part is, what about all your teammates?
Yep.
Now they got to answer for what you said.
No doubt.
Well, Aaron Donald. I'm talking to him earlier. I'm tripping. Anthony Davis, right? You say, hey, man, he said earlier that y'all know what y'all doing in sets. How you feel about that? It puts everybody in a bad situation. I hate that. Because now they might fire him after this year if it don't go well. And then when he goes to the meeting to talk about why he got fired, they're going to talk about, well, you didn't beat the Nuggets, da-da-da-da. Well, you know, your star player said, hey, they don't know what the hell they're doing on the court. How can we win? How can we trust you to win a championship? Yeah. So I hate it for so many different reasons. I just hate that the last part I hate about it is when you're a star, bro, don't make excuses up for it.
Come on, man.
Go out there and take advantage and take control of the game. You don't see LeBron James doing stuff like that. That's the soft.
Ooh.
That's soft. Like, it's, you know what it is? It's pointing the finger. You know why? Because, you played a phenomenal game in the first half. Defense-wise and offensive-wise.
Yeah.
Second half, all we need to do is not even score points, James, right? I'm going to just take that away because I thought that, hey, you score 4 points, the game's different, right? This score is 4 points. That's something small. Give me more than this one shot attempt. You had one shot attempt in the fourth quarter? How are we going to win?
Yeah. I won't blame him for that. I think there's something here.
Pass the ball.
Think, I think emotion can motivate speech. And so whether he was irate, whether he was sad, whether he was emotional, I think there's something to it. I think something. AD's a vet.
Like you think that's what I'm saying.
I agree with you.
I don't think they knew what they was doing.
Not at times. Well, defensively. I think defensively people. Now, it wasn't just always AD. Sometimes it was Hayes who was in there and wasn't switching off sometimes.
He played this much.
I know, but there was one of them times there was a bucket that they didn't switch off of. One time it was Prince who forgot to show, and he didn't show, and then there was another bucket.
So what do you say to this, though? What do you say for they locking up Jamal Murray for the whole game? Late in the game, he starts balling out. Jokic, for the most part, if you look at the stat line, you're going to say he did this and that third. If you really watch the game, they played great defense against him until the fourth quarter. What else can you do?
But you was up 20. So Darvin Ham was prepared when you was up 20?
And I thought he had a great game plan.
That's the basketball game. Like, just because it went that way, you trying to blame it on the coach. You was up 20 points in this game and 15 in the first.
Weak, bro.
And Darvin Ham ain't prepared? You ain't prepared? Come on, man. Quit it.
With the NFL draft tonight, just literally an hour and a half away, what one move has to happen? Do the Giants have to draft a quarterback at 6? Do the Vikings need to trade up with the Cardinals and draft J.J. McCarthy? Should the Patriots draft Dre May? Do the Commanders have to draft Jaden Daniels? What must happen in the biggest draft we've seen in a long time? Next on Speak. Well, every team, most teams at least tonight, will be rewarded with the future of their franchise. Number one overall pick will be Caleb Williams, but the first round picks are going to go tonight. These are the team changers. These are the generational talents. At least that's what they're supposed to be. So, Shady, of all the moves that will happen tonight, of the 32, what's the one move that has to happen in tonight's draft?
I'm hoping that we get a LeSean McCoy in this draft, which is going to be very, very hard. No, I'm going to go with the Giants. I need to see them go out there and get a quarterback. You got Brian Daboll, who's the quarterback whisperer, who's a hell of a coach. Let's not forget how good he was. He took the Giants team, wasn't that good.
No, 9 wins.
The quarterback is Daniel Jones, took him to the playoffs, and they got a win. That's the coach we're talking about.
Yep.
Get your quarterback and be back to the promised land.
I'm with you on that. I'm just going to raise you on that. Giants got to make two moves. I need to see the Giants draft a receiver and a quarterback tonight. I need to see them get Odunze in Penix. I need to see that's likely the best option, or get Brian Thomas in Penix, or get A.D. Mitchell in Penix, get Xavier Worthy in Penix. They got to get a quarterback and a wide receiver, both in the first round. That is the move that has to happen. Hopefully, I see them trading back, acquire more picks, and get them both. That's where I'm at.
I'm also going with the Giants quarterback. Ideally, it would be nice for them to also get a receiver, but somebody has to throw to the receiver.
Yeah.
And it ain't going to be Daniel Jones.
Or nobody from Duke.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. At the quarterback position, of course. Yeah. No, they got to draft a quarterback. Don't leave it to hopes and wishes or rely on anybody else not picking the guy that you want. Go get a quarterback. There's going to be quarterbacks that are overdrafted in this draft. There are quarterbacks that are overdrafted in every single draft.
Yeah.
You've got to take a chance. You have an opportunity at the top of the draft right now to make a move in a deep quarterback draft, deeper than usual. So I think they have to get a quarterback.
Hey, Giants.
G-men.
What has to happen is Buffalo Bills. You have to trade up. You have to get out of 28, and you have to go get you one of these big-time receivers. You have
hurt Josh Allen. Mm. Stephon Diggs gone. Gabe Davis gone. You took all his weapons. I don't even know who in the wide receiver room, right? You have to trade up in this draft, and you got to go get one of these big-time receivers. Roma Dumze, I don't care who it is, Malik Nabers, trade your butt up there and let Josh Allen know we are okay. The GM said what up there? I'm competitive. Yep. Whatever he said, Shady, that she was reading up there. Boy, yeah. Show us that. But go James, up there and get this young man a big-time wideout.
To me, wouldn't you say that this is the one draft that you shouldn't trade up for receiver? Because there's like seven of them?
Them three up top, Roma Dumze, Malik, and Harrison, they by themselves.
Yep.
The but other ones is, I feel like you can find in the second and the third round. Go up there and get one of them big
So you don't, Brian Thomas, the receiver opposite Malik Nabers, 17 touchdowns this year.
We're talking number one, Joe. We're talking number one. We're not looking for number two in the first round. We're talking number one.
Big
Those dudes that you are talking about right now was number twos, in my opinion. He was number two to Malik Nabers.
He was.
They are number two receivers. We need a big-time number one receiver that's walking in here right now, the number one with Josh Allen for a long time under a rookie contract. Other than that, if you don't do that, wait until the second round and get you something else.
Let's talk about that one. Because, I mean,
I like the energy.
Justin Jefferson was the number two to Jamar Chase at LSU.
Yeah, I understand that, right? But I'm sure if we talked about it, I could pull up a lot of sorry ones.
You went to the one great one.
I'm just saying.
Came out of there, too.
When we return, we have some final thoughts as we get closer to the draft. Jarvis Landry is number two to Odell.
I'm going to say that
one. Here you go.
Take us to Frank.
2-5, you posted this today as you was reminiscing, man, the start of it all, the Eagles draft card, 2009, second round, LeSean McCoy, running back, even though maybe I forgot what position you played, running back, Pittsburgh, overall number 53. When you think about the draft, when you think about that, what do you think about?
He made it all possible for me, God, you were so good. They said,
God, the second pick. 53rd, who it's going to be? It's going to be me.
It's going to be
And then the story was wrong. So, Peter lost 29 at first, though. Georgetown, I was 29. I was number 29 at first. And then God said, no, take that off.
25 is better.
And 25 is a whole new
who
person.
Who was 25 your rookie year? You remember still?
Yeah. Lorenzo Booker said he was nice. Said he was
running, running back.
You running back for Florida State? All-American. Another All-American.
You try to pay him for it or not?
Nah, I ain't playing for it. I'm better than you. You won't be here long. And I was right.
That's the Eagles' all-time rushing leader. Family, the draft dreams will come true. Make sure you tune in and watch these players live out the dreams of their life. That's great. Up next.